It is our 75th birthday this year, so it's a real privilege to have all of you here this morning to help celebrate that, this wonderful occasion for us. We're in the business of ecological restoration and fostering Aldo Leopold's land ethic. One of the things that's often challenging for the restoration business is, what is it you are attempting to restore? And I put up this little slide because it's not clear what the condition of Dane County was like in the 1840s, which is our benchmark in terms of the landscape. We have some pretty good information from early surveys, but it may well be that this was a period, a very fallow period in North America because of extreme population decline. So the context that we use is the 1840s, and as Frank mentioned, Leopold's original vision was to recreate a piece of Dane County. In fact, by the end of 1934, there'd been some mission creep, and the idea had expanded to recreate the major ecosystems of the whole of Wisconsin. And that's an interesting question as to why that shift occurred, which we can perhaps take up with the panel later. And basically, with that in mind, we largely have coniferous vegetation to the north and eastern Wisconsin, and in the south, deciduous and prairie oak savanna communities. And we have representations of all of that here on site. One of the important elements of the early restoration research at the Arboretum was Curtis's experiments with the use of fire. And fire still is probably our most important management tool for attempting to diminish the amount of woody species in the prairies. The nice thing about the fire is, once it's over, everything comes back to life in all its wondrous glory. This is another shot of Curtis Prairie. I want to focus mainly on what I would call the contemporary issues facing the Arboretum, and a number of them are listed here. They're largely framed in terms of us being what a friend of mine refers to as sitting in the toilet bowl of Madison. Everything around us is higher, so we receive a lot of runoff. And with that, there are a lot of associated problems being surrounded by an impervious area. Just a quick historical time set here. You can see in the 1930s, there was plenty of open farmland, a little bit of development to the west and the north, but largely we were sitting in a largely rural landscape. By the 1960s, this thing had come through, the major highway bisecting the property. This is the south part that Frank referred to, the Grady Tract. North part, note Lake Wingra here, useful reference point for some subsequent slides. By 2007, we're completely surrounded by an urbanized, impervious landscape. Even this area here to the south now is developed. So it poses some challenge. The refuge question that Frank addressed clearly relates in part to the inability to maintain the sort of wild land in the true sense in this urbanized context. Stormwater runoff is something of an obsession with us. We get about 480 million gallons of stormwater a year coming onto the property from the surrounding landscape, loaded with road salt, hydrocarbons, seeds of invasive species, and the like. But it's a challenge, and it's one that faces many urban areas. This picture, interestingly enough, was used on the cover of the Gaylord Nelson Institute to celebrate their annual report, prominently featuring a stormwater detention pond, which is located right in the middle of the famed world's first tall grass prairie, Curtis Prairie. This is where you are right now. And these stormwater facilities are something of a challenge for us. The Curtis Pond again, and here you see early spring reed canary grass greening out much earlier in the spring than all the rest of the native species. And this is related to a plume of water that flows from the detention pond right across the prairie. This is on the west side of the property, where these wetlands are being scoured and we're now forming a delta in Lake Wingram. Other facilities are failing. We're currently in the business of rehabilitating the six major stormwater detention ponds we have on the property. So we're trying to deal with it. Another issue we face is that of invasive species. I mentioned the reed canary grass. The one we're not really certain about in terms of its perniciousness is the European earthworm, Lumbricus and Lolobophora. However, we are concerned that it's appreciably altering litter dynamics in our forested ecosystems and perhaps adding as an aid to the invasion of buckthorn, honeysuckle, other such invasives. We don't know much about it. We know it's there. We've had students out there with big buckets of mustard powder, which is a wonderful way to extract earthworms from the soil. You make up a slurry and out they pop. So we're starting to get a bit of a handle on the population dynamics, but we don't know the ecological impacts at this point. Another issue we're facing is that of a major power line, 345 kilovolt power line, which will be constructed starting in 2010 down the belt line and will top our tree line by over 100 feet. Aesthetically, obviously, we're not very happy with that, but we're also very concerned about the potential impact on the 220 species of birds plus about 10 species of bats that either use this place permanently or in a migratory fashion. Particularly some of the larger birds. We have blue heron rookeries here. We have sandhill cranes that nest and breed. These birds could be particularly at risk for collision and electrocution with these lines. As we look to the future, I see us shifting, not abandoning community ecology, but much more of a focus on what I call functional ecology as it relates to native plant species. My colleague Joy Zedler, who's the Aldo Leopold Professor of Restoration Ecology, is now conducting a series of experiments to look at the rooting characteristics and other traits of individual native plants so that as we do these stormwater management reconstructions, we can perhaps find species that will, in some instances, stabilize the soil surface, in some instances be tolerant to high salt concentrations, in other instances be deep rooters that promote infiltration, species that can tolerate flashy hydro periods. And this work is just getting underway, and this is an example of an area now that some of you may visit on the field trip where we're rehabilitating, re-engineering a stormwater basin and various plantings of based on Joy's lab and greenhouse experiments will be introduced into these cells to see how we can perhaps use native species in a more adaptive way to deal with the challenges of the urban stormwater runoff. Another issue that is of great interest to us is the relationship between native plants and pollinators. Many of you are familiar with the issues surrounding domestic bee collapse. We're very interested in what potential there is for us to build a second line of defense on the landscape through the use of native plants, native pollinators. Climate change, obviously, is a big issue, and this whole idea of building ecosystem services in disturbed landscapes is very important for us. Interestingly, we have on the property a community from the Ohio Valley, which is doing surprisingly well. And I think some of you may be familiar with the concern in Ohio at the moment that the buckeye is migrating into Michigan. What do we do with our conifers? Many of them are having a really tough time on this landscape. They're better adapted to the northern climates. We're going to have to come to some decisions. about those issues. We also have many landscapes where the hydrology is appreciably altered. This is an example on the eastern side of the property where we have organic soil or muck that is supporting deciduous woodland vegetation. So we have a kind of an ecological mismatch between the soil and the plant communities. Traditionally, this place was set up as sort of collections. We're looking to sort of smooth the landscape, looking at more plantings that will give us transitions between different communities. We have a wonderful deer population, which poses some challenges, which I won't get into right now. And finally, I hope you will stay connected with us. We're in the process of developing an interactive map, which, if you clue into our website, should be available within the next couple of months. Thank you very much.